It's 1900 UTC, and that means it's time for That's News to Me. I'm your host, DJ Marcus. Let's see what's happening in the world today.
Oh, baby! What do you know? What do you know? It is October. Whoops. October 27th. 2021, and that means that it is Wednesday. Ugh, what a Wednesday. Sorry for being late. I do want to just say sorry about that. Tomorrow, though, I've got time clawed out of my schedule, so don't you worry. We'll do our attempt at a call-in show, and, well, it'll be something. We'll try it, at least. While I go ahead and pull up comm, I'll just go ahead and tell you how to do it too. What you want to do is SSH over to SDF. You can use tty.sdf.org if you already have an account. Or if you're new, you can just SSH over new, N-E-W, at sdf.org, and then press enter. You'll be prompted to fill out some questions, and then you'll have an account. For those that are already in logged in, you just type comm, C-O-M, that's press enter. Then press G for go to, then a non-radio, all lowercase, you press enter, and then a moment later you'll see a banner that says a non-radio, and you'll see it says you are in a non-radio among, and it'll have a number. Right now it says 48, which means there's 48 terminals connected, and you'll get to chat and hang out with people, including Ratsu, a cool cat in comm. So hello, and hello to everyone who's listening out there in a non-radio land. 1908 is my extension. So it's time to get going. yeah, doing the show live. I guess the replay is kind of a little funny sometimes. Hello, F-Funk. Hey, M-Stoney. Thank you for tuning in. X1, Jeff, thanks so much. Yeah, the news, since I do the show live all the time, it's kind of funny when reruns happen because it sounds like a live show until I talk about the date. So I'm going to try my best to say the date and time at the beginning of each show. I just forget. You know how it goes.
Uh-oh. Sounds like somebody's got a case of the Mondays.
Ugh. Anyway. All right. Well, we've got a lot of news, and I was late, so we're going to have to speed it up. Don't worry, I had a short number of stories today, so I think they'll all fit. So the game plan is tomorrow. The show's going to air just like normal, but what I've got is I'm going to have the sound clips. It's basically going to work the same way that the live stream shows did. I have to do a bunch of sound manipulation on my side, but I'll be able to route the sound clips through to the audio, which should make it into the VoIP, which should then make it into the radio. So, should be a little bit of fun, and I'll give out the dial-in number and all that stuff for folks if they want to call in tomorrow. So, yeah. Yep, I think I believe so, SMJ. I'll be using the website to turn that on tonight, probably. All right. Sorry. I keep running out of gas. So, we need to get our energy up. And what better way than
world news?
That's right. World news. Bird flu strikes endangered South African cormorants. Bird flu is ravaging South Africa's endangered Cape cormorants, killing as much as 5% of the world's remaining population, a conservation group said on Wednesday. We know that we have over 12,000 dead cormorants so far, which is most likely underreported, said Kat Ludinia, research manager for the Southern African Foundation for the Conservation of Coastal Birds. The long-necked birds live along the coast from South Africa to Angola, and they number only 234,000. There are about 500 are dying every day from avian influenza, but not all beaches are monitored, and some corpses have washed out to sea. The strain of bird flu is not dangerous to humans, but spreads quickly through cormorant colonies. The deaths include many chicks, as this is the breeding season. The bird flu outbreak comes as cormorants are already under pressure declining fish stocks, especially those of sardines. Lack of food may have weakened their defenses, helping to account for the high death toll. There's a very high commercial pressure on sardines, but they have also been environmental pressures related to climate change. Bird flu cannot be treated in cormorants. Ludinia said, the only solution is to stop the spread by removing carcasses quickly and euthanizing birds that show symptoms before they can spread it further. Pretty wild, right? Think about, imagine if that was the case. Oh, it looks like you've got a fever. We got to euthanize you to prevent the spread of whatever disease it might be. I've got to check my voicemail to be able to answer your question, SMJ, but all will be revealed tomorrow. Moldova. Let's talk about Moldova. Russia threatens gas supply in Europe's poorest state. His country is immersed in a gas crisis, but Nicu Popescu is trying to remain positive. On Monday, our country made history, Moldova's foreign minister tells me. For the first time, Moldova bought gas from a source that wasn't Russia's Gazprom. The gas shipment from Poland's PGNiG, which is, that's Papa Golf, November, India Golf, was 1 million cubic meters. Moldova will need much larger volumes if Gazprom does what it is threatened to do, turn off the gas taps. Sounds like monopoly money right there. Up until now, 100% of Moldova's gas has come from Russia, but the contract to supply it expired at the end of September. Gazprom raised the price and Moldova balked at it. In the absence of a new deal, the Russian energy giant reduced supplies, prompting Moldova to declare a 30-day state of emergency. Gazprom accused Moldova of provoking a crisis and demanded repayment of a $709 million debt, which Moldova disputes. Negotiations continue. Moldovan officials say they would like to sign a new contract with Gazprom, but only if the terms are favorable. If there is no deal with Russia, could Moldova, one of Europe's poorest countries, buy gas elsewhere? It is the worst time to have a gas crisis at home, he admits. The prices are higher than ever. We see the market crunch on a global scale, but we've had support. In recent years, Romania built a new gas pipeline into Moldova, which gives us a safety valve. We've also had some advice from the European Union on how to diversify a country's gas supply within a few days. Like many enterprises in Moldova, the sugar factory in Drochia has been affected by the gas shortage. So... Excellent, yeah. Russian gas, who cares? Let's save the world. We're able to use just a quarter of the gas we need, manager Rostislav Magdi explains. We're chopping that up with alternative sources of energies. We hope our government will compensate any losses arising from the high price of fuel. So this is kind of interesting. I don't know, Moldova is in between Romania and Ukraine. So that's kind of where we're talking about. For Moldova, reducing Russia's influence won't be easy. In energy terms, Moldova is closely tied to Moscow. Not only has the country been 100% dependent on Russian gas, but its own gas company, Moldova Gas, is majority owned by Gazprom, and more than 80% of Moldova's electricity comes from Russian-owned power plant in Transdniester, a separatist region of Moldova, backed economically, politically, and militarily by Moscow. If you think of gas negotiations as a game of poker, then Russia has a very strong hand. Hey. The door is closed. Global energy crisis. Yeah. We're going to have some interesting times ahead, as our friends in the energy sector like to say. And that's exactly the next story. Energy crunch. Russia could reap windfalls as other nations reel. Raymond DaCosta woke up soaked in sweat. It was midnight and the power was out in his neighborhood in Bangalore, India's third largest city. When it returned, the voltage was so low that the ceiling fan barely moved. A fresh outage took away even that whiff of comfort. This pattern played out repeatedly on a recent sultry night, but DaCosta, a 43-year-old executive in an education startup, is worried that the worst is yet to come. It's going to get really bad, he told Al Jazeera. A desperate coal shortage at India's power utilities this month is stoking those fears, as supplies struggle to keep up with a burgeoning demand for electricity in a reviving economy. While there are plenty of losers, the global energy crunch is also meaning winners, including Russia. For years, President Putin's government has been criticized for Moscow's refusal to move swiftly towards clean energy. Now it's reaping the benefits of that decision, with energy-hungry Europe, China, and India looking to Russian gas and coal to play a savior. Consider the irony. As the global leaders gather in Glasgow for the United Nations Climate Change Conference, COP26, on Sunday to recommit to fighting climate change, Moscow's emphasis on fossil fuels is what could keep homes and many of the world's largest economies warm this winter. And I just think this is a trip. It's just such a, it's so wild, but it's very true. I think we kind of mentioned it before about, I guess it was Norway, and their, it was one of the Scandinavian countries, but basically it's like they're leading the way in green stuff, in green energy and green stuff domestically, but all of their money comes from oil exports, which is totally not, it's not offsetting things. So anyway, whew, man, what a world, what a wild world we live in, right? It's like one hand says one thing, the other one does another. Speaking of oil, Libya's Zawiya oil refinery suffered damages due to armed clashes. Libya's state oil company said on Tuesday that the 120,000 barrel per day Zawiya oil refinery complex in a western city of its capital, Tripoli, was severely damaged due to some skirmishes late Monday. The NOC said those involved held no regard for the lives of workers at the site. 8 oil storage tanks and 5 other tanks for oil and chemical products were damaged and were leaking, while the electrical transformer of the power supply system was also knocked out. According to the NOC chief, Mustafa Sanala, the infrastructure of the oil sector represents the lifeblood of the Libyan state. Therefore, vandalizing these facilities, destroying them, or exposing their workers to danger is a crime that cannot be tolerated. Calm, 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 calm. Serious stuff. Calm. Anyway, sorry.
It's not that I'm lazy. It's that I just don't care.
That's the American attitude to almost everything. We've got to play a song because, geez, Louise.
Get the news over with. I want to hear the music.
This is in my head. Brah, 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 brah. What?
It's not that I'm lazy. It's not that I'm lazy. It's that I just don't care.
That's the American mantra of the American right there. It's not that I'm lazy. I'm a hard worker. It's just that I don't care. It's like, you want me to do what? Give up straws? No way. You want me to not use plastic bags? sorry, SMJ. I know it's some people are sensitive about that, but I just, as a guy in Texas, it totally feels like that is the approach. Or people are just actively hostile towards the environment for some reason. yeah, I've got reusable bags too. All right. Well, we've got to play a song because, you know, it just happens to get crazy. Ooh, that'll be cool. Free rides in the Aptera. That'll be fun. Let's see. Do we have anything about... oh, here it is. We'll play part of this song, but not the whole thing because we got to talk about news.
Great, it starts with an earthquake, birds and snakes, an airplane. Lenny Bruce is not afraid. I have a hurricane, listen to yourself, churn world, serves its own needs. Dummy, serve your own needs, beat it up, an ox beat, grunt, no strength. The ladder starts to clatter with fear, bite down, high wire and a fire, representing 7 games in a government for hire and a combat site. Left to west are coming in a hurry with the furies breathing down your neck. Team, my team, reporters, baffle Trump, tethered crop. Slice and burn, return, listen to yourself churn. Locking in, uniform and book burning, blood letting, every motive escalate, automotive centering. Light a candle, light a motor, step down, watch your heel crush, crush. Uh-oh, this means no fear, cavalier, renegade, steer clear. A tournament of lies. Offer me solutions, offer me alternatives, and I decline. It's the end of the world as we know it. It's the end of the world. It's the end of the world as we know it.
Anon Radio is your non-commercial, non-profit, member-supported underground radio station.
Powered by the SDF Public Access Unix System.
That's right. You're listening to Anon Radio, powered by SDF. Thank you for tuning in, and thanks for being here. Wow, Dirty Rig's been on hold for 55 minutes with the pharmacy. I hope you get that cream you need. X1, hello, hello, goodbye. I'm surprised Claudio M and X1 have both dropped off. Well, I hope you come back. And I hope I wasn't too harsh on the United States to upset people. Just letting people know.
It's not that I'm lazy. It's that I just don't care.
Maybe that's just me. All right, let's talk about some domestic news, and then we'll jump back into more global stuff. First, three teenagers are charged with killing high school classmate with a knife and a sword. Police say teen trio burned clothes and brought cleaning supplies to clear up after attack aftermath. Three teenagers from Florida, two girls and a boy, have been charged with killing one of their high school classmates using a sword and a knife. Police said the classmates lured 18-year-old Dwight D.J. Grant from his home and then stabbed him to death using the weapons. The teenagers were arrested last week. According to law enforcement, one of the girls restrained Mr. Grant as the boy stabbed him while the second girl acted as a lookout. All three have been charged with first-degree murder, conspiracy, and evidence tampering. The 18-year-old was last seen on October 17th and was found dead 2 days later in Miramar, north of Miami. He was found in the bushes behind his apartment building. Law enforcement say in an arrest affidavit that the charged teenagers, a girl aged 16 and a boy and a girl both aged 17, conspired to trick Mr. Grant into a trap and cooperated to commit the murder. After the killing, they reportedly collaborated to get rid of the weapons and clean up any evidence. Welcome back, X1. This is sad, and I feel like this is kind of one of those where American privacy laws are kind of fudged up, because this 18-year-old is no more an adult than these kids, but we know his full name. All right. And another kid, another murdering teenager from the United States, Kyle Rittenhouse. Walking douchebag. Terrible person. The people shot by Kyle Rittenhouse in Kenosha, Wisconsin, cannot be referred to as victims, even though he murdered them. The people shot by Kyle Rittenhouse in Kenosha, Wisconsin last August cannot be referred to as victims by prosecutors in court, a judge ruled on Monday. Defense attorneys may, however, call them arsonists or looters. The word victim is a loaded, loaded word, and I think alleged victim is a cousin to it, said Judge Bruce Schroeder on Monday. Let the evidence show what the evidence shows, and if the evidence shows that any or more than one of these people were engaged in arson, rioting, or looting, then I'm not going to tell the defense they can't call them that, he added, ahead of what is expected to be a contentious trial. In a response to Schroeder's ruling on Monday, Assistant District Attorney Thomas Binger said that he was creating a double standard, saying if I were to count the number of times that you've admonished me not to call someone a victim during a trial, it would be in the thousands. The term that I'm identifying here, such as rioters, looters, arsonists, are as loaded, if not more loaded, than the term victim. Schroeder also said Mark Richards, one of Rittenhouse's attorneys, could demonize them if he wants, if he thinks it will win points with the jury. On August 25th, 2020, Rittenhouse was 17 years old, crossed state lines from his home in Antioch, Illinois, armed with an AR-15-style rifle in response to a Kenosha-based militia group that called for protection for businesses against protesters supporting the Black Lives Matter racial justice movement. Rittenhouse is facing multiple felony charges of homicide in the shooting and deaths of Joseph Rosenbaum, 36, and Anthony Huber, 26, as well as attempted homicide for shooting and wounding Gage Grosskreutz, 27. He's also charged with misdemeanor count of possession of a dangerous weapon by a minor. He's pleaded not guilty to all charges, and his attorneys argue he acted in self-defense. The rallies took place over several days in response to white police shooting of a black man, Jacob Blake, in the back from close range, which was caught on video and widely shared in social media. Blake's shooting came 3 months after George Floyd was killed while pinned down by police officers in Minneapolis. The officer, Rustin Chesky, who was investigated and cleared for shooting and paralyzing Blake from the waist down, returned to duty in April. He was not charged. Because fuck the police. Alright, anyway, sorry. I normally avoid those stories because I get so hot about them. Anyway. Deep breaths. Let's reset.
World News.
All right, reset. We've only got a couple of minutes to go before the Doobie Skulls Committee with Tope, and oh man, there's so much other news to talk about. Lots of world stuff, too. Brazil senators are backing criminal charges against Bolsonaro over the way he's handled the COVID pandemic. And in France, France is threatening to block British fishing boats from ports in a row about fishing licenses. France announced Wednesday it will bar British fishing boats from some French ports starting next week if no deal is reached with the UK in a dispute over fishing licenses, and suggested it may restrict energy supplies to the Channel Island as well, which would be bad news. Iran says it's going to resume nuclear negotiations by the end of November, which is going to be great. World peace is always good for the world. And India has an interesting story. Hate campaign in India against Urdu for being a Muslim language. Hindu nationalist groups are targeting Indian-born language after clothing brand comes up with a Diwali advertisement with Urdu words. Last week, Hindu right-wing forces in India forced a leading firm to withdraw its festive season advertisement after it featured a couple of words from the Urdu language, which in the popular imagination in the country is a Muslim language. The company, Fab India, issued an advertisement for Diwali, a significant Hindu festival that falls next month, showcasing its latest collection of clothes. The text at the top read, Jashan-e Rawaz. Jashan in Urdu means a celebration, while Rawaz, which is actually Rawajd with the J, means tradition. So, celebration of tradition, but that was too much. Yeah, this just pisses me. Anyway, I am very emotionally charged right now. Last couple of stories. Well, we're out of time, even though I was late.
7.